Hi, moms. I'm Becca Carnahan.
And I'm Marie Tremblay.
We're two mom friends and career development professionals here to help you answer that big question. What do I want to be when I grow up?
Just because we're moms now doesn't mean we're all the way grown up yet.
I know I'm not.
Me neither. And we want to give you permission to grow, change, and evolve as a parent and professional.
By sharing real stories from real moms, we're going to help you navigate the motherhood identity shift, career changes, work-life balance questions, and more.
Are you ready to keep growing up with us?
Yes? Then let's do this.
We're talking about such an important topic today. We're tapping into networking.
Mm-hmm.
Because we say it often, 80% of jobs are found through networking.
Yep. That number sounds so big to people, but they do studies on it
mm-hmm.
every year. And it's networking and referrals. So let's just make it not that big, scary word and break it down to make networking actually work for you.
Yeah, because it can be awkward, but we're going to try to help you and give you sort of a framework on how to navigate all of this.
Mm-hmm. And like we usually do, we're going to start with a story.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think many of you will see yourself in Cindy. So Cindy is a mom of two, and she has spent the last 10 years working for a nonprofit. And she's been feeling the itch to leave her job. She manages partnerships in that job. It's been good in many ways, but especially over the past year or so, she's been really feeling this itch to move into a for-profit company. So what Cindy has been doing is sending out a few applications here and there. She's been hearing radio silence from mm-hmm. those applications. So Cindy's feeling a little down. And she really doesn't know where to take her search next. I think before we even start networking, it's a good reminder. Just remember that probably only 20% of those cold applications are actually leading to somewhere. And that has nothing mm-hmm. to do with your qualifications or how amazing you are as a person. Cindy has yeah. a fabulous experience. It has to do with the fact that a company has a problem that they're trying to solve, and they want to solve that problem as quickly as possible.
Mm.
So how are they going to do that as quickly as possible? They're going to look for people that they may already know, like, and trust. Think about yeah. when you're hiring a plumber. Probably look to a plumber that you've already worked with before,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to ask your friends and family, who would you recommend? Because that's the fastest way for you to solve this problem and solve it well.
Yeah.
It's no different in a different type of job search like mm-hmm. this. It's exactly the same. So I think people worry like, okay, networking, it's all about who you know. And I don't like, oh, so I'm not going to get a job. Let's just take advantage of us knowing that that's how things happen and find ways for you to build your network and become one of those people that people know. So let's take Cindy, her example here. Let's kind of play it out a little bit further. So she is trying to make a move from nonprofit into for-profit. So specifically for Cindy, one of the things that I recommended to her as she was planning out, all right, I know I need to network, but how? Mm. Let's start there. Let's start with the how. And I think having a target list of companies goes a long way because you could just kind of randomly network and just like talk with a few people. And that's good. Starting with people who already know, like, and trust you, friends and neighbors, making sure that they're aware of what you're looking to do. That's helpful. But having a target list of companies that you're really interested in and starting to build a strategy to network in to those companies, that's going to leave you more focused.
Mm-hmm.
And Cindy's a mama too. She has stuff going on. She's still working at the nonprofit as well. So her life is really busy. So she doesn't want to be going out to a million networking events or joining a million networking groups. That's not as strategic as thinking about who are these mission-driven for-profit companies that are a good fit for me that I really want to network into.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we can go from the whole universe of potential networking into a list of, let's even start like around 10 companies. That feels really reasonable. Okay, I need to find contacts within 10 companies. I can do that.
All right. So then I guess you go on your LinkedIn and yeah, you try to find connections?
A couple of ways you can do it. One of them is LinkedIn for sure. So with those target list of companies, what I asked Cindy to do is, first of all, to look at that list of companies, ask yourself, do I already know someone who works at one of these companies?
Because you might.
You might. And this happens more. This is not just a Cindy thing. This is other people that I've worked with too. They'll be like, oh, actually, yeah, my sister-in-law works at that company. I'm like, oh my gosh, your sister-in-law works at that company?
If that's the case, that's amazing. But you might, because you might know someone, not know them, but you might have someone in your alumni that you can contact that works there, or different degrees of knowing people. You don't have to be close friends with someone that works in your target company list, right?
Yeah. So definitely don't forget the people that you already share a Thanksgiving dinner table with, who
perfecto,
might be,
but you might have some enlarged group of people that you know that are there right there on your LinkedIn that you can approach by sending them a message and try to get those contacts going.
So maybe it's someone, like you said, that you went to school with, someone who lives in your town, someone who might be an alumni of a company that you both worked for. That's another way to think about alumni connections, is it doesn't have to be from the school that you went to. Maybe you both worked for the same nonprofit in the past, or volunteered in the same place in the past. You're alumni of an organization. And when you have that common connection, that just makes the outreach so much easier, because one of the phrases, this is where people get stuck up. People get stuck up on, first of all, like, okay, what's the framework? Who do I think about connecting with? But then more importantly, I think where people get stuck how do I phrase it? How do I make this, what words should I use? Write down some of these phrases, because they're not cheesy. They're not.
We don't like cheesy. You don't want to, and we know when it's cheesy, right?
Oh yeah. You can feel it. Like, these are authentic, and make sure it feels authentic to you. If you wouldn't use ever the words that I'm using, don't use them. But if you listen to it and you're like, oh, you know what? That sounds really natural. Copy paste, my friend, and use something like that. So when you're reaching out, let's go back to Cindy here. So Cindy is looking to make this move from a nonprofit into a for-profit. She's still very impact-driven, mission-driven, but she thinks that more of a corporate type of setting is going to be a better fit for her. The pay might be a bit higher. So there's some certain criteria that she's looking to meet, which makes the for-profit path a good move for her. So what she's going to do is look for people at the target organization who have previously worked at a nonprofit either that she has worked at or one that serves a similar mission. Let's use, in this example, it's someone who actually worked at the same nonprofit. She just didn't know them because they worked there previously. It's a big organization. So let's call this person Marie for the sake of argument here. So Cindy is reaching out to you, Marie, and saying, Marie, I came across your profile when I was researching XYZ company and noticed that we both worked for ABC organization. Based on your background moving from nonprofit into a for-profit company, I would really value your perspective and advice. Would you be open to having a 20-minute conversation sometime in the next 2 weeks? I would love to be able to connect with you and learn from you.
That's super efficient.
Super efficient.
I want to talk to that person.
It does a couple things.
Yeah.
So let's break down that message. It's establishing connection. We both worked at the same organization.
The common thread.
Common thread. It is showing appreciation for someone's background and skills. I would value your perspective. Would really
makes me feel good to hear that. Yeah, she values my perspective. Of course, I'm gonna chat with that person. Yeah, love it.
We're not saying pick your brain. That's different. Like, pick your brain feels very different to me than I would value your perspective. You're indicating that they're actually going to be the star of this conversation. You're going to have some questions for them, and you would really appreciate what they have to say. And you're going to learn a lot from them. So the common thread You're valuing the person. You're asking, you're making this short and sweet. You're not giving them your whole life story, but you are explaining the move that you're trying to make. So it helps someone understand, can I help this person? You're basically telling them, yes, you can help me because we have made a similar move. You've made a move that I want to make. So you know from life experience what this could look like. You're not asking them for a job in that email. So you're making it easy for them to say yes to you. And because if you ask them, hey, do you have any opportunities for me? They're going to like, well, I don't even know you, first of all. And, oh, nothing's open in my department. Maybe check back later. That's a conversation killer. But if you suggest that, would you be open to having a conversation? I would value your perspective and advice as I look to make this transition. That's a conversation opener. And you've just started this relationship. So that's a lot that those 3 to 4 sentences are doing. They're packing a big punch.
I love that you're giving them 2 weeks. Hey, would you be open to chat for 20 minutes in the coming 2 weeks? Because people are busy. They cannot do this like right in the coming days. But if you write in the coming 2 weeks, of course, they're going to be able to try to open that calendar and have that short conversation.
It's strategic, but it's also just helpful. Because if someone were to email me and say, do you have 15 minutes sometime ever? I would be like, I actually don't know how to look at my calendar.
Do I
don't know, maybe tomorrow. Like it starts to, but if someone says 15 minutes, 20 minutes, sometime over the next 2 weeks, I can quickly pull up my calendar and be like, next Wednesday afternoon would look good. You're asking for a specific amount of time within a specific window. And worst case scenario, the person comes back and says, I'm actually on vacation the next 2 weeks, but are you available at the end of the month? Sometimes people will be busy and their email will go to a junk folder, or they just won't read their email as closely as they want to. That's going to happen. But you will get some really good responses as well. And Cindy did. So as we started to prepare for these conversations, what I told Cindy is that we need to make sure that the questions that you're asking in this networking conversation are real good. And not just like intellectually good questions, but questions that are going to lead to a good open relationship that you're having with this person. Like you're going back and forth, you're building rapport, but you're also gathering really important information. Information that will help you better to pitch yourself in a potential interview with this company. Information that will allow you to determine if this company is a good fit for you or not.
There you go.
Because I have no problem with you crossing companies off your list. You're going to have to. You can't work for all 10 of those in the next year. So we want to ask some really good questions that help you get the information that you need to make good decisions. And
you know what? I'm thinking about Asha's story, an episode that we did a while ago in season one about company culture and those very good questions for parents to ask to really know a company culture. So I'm just referring you. I don't know the number of the episode, but it was the first, I think it's the first 10 episodes that we did. It was a good one about those specific questions. Yeah.
Those are specific. That's right. Go back and listen to Asha's episode. Listen to Abby's episode too. If networking is a subject area that you really want to dive into more, there's Abby's story about networking as an introvert.
Yeah.
And avoiding these big networking events, instead doing more one-to-one. That's another really good one. When I think about the anatomy of a networking conversation, one of the first things I like people to do is to ask some specific questions about the person's background.
Okay.
And not just, hey, Marie, tell me your life story, because you can look them up on LinkedIn beforehand and you only have 20 minutes. So instead of saying, just tell me a little bit about your path, which could take the person 10 minutes to walk through. Instead,
and you're losing precious time too.
You're losing time. Exactly. So come prepared. What I told Cindy to do was look at the profile of the person, see what moves that they made before, what kind of jobs have they had. And in particular, and I'm thinking of one of the people that Cindy spoke with was someone who did a lot of partnership work in the nonprofit world and then moved that into a partnerships and business development role within for-profit. So one of the questions Cindy was going to ask this person was, I noticed that you had a background in partnerships in nonprofits. I do as well. How were you able to translate that into working in a for-profit setting, building partnerships and with new business development? I'd love to hear about how you were able to make that transition. I would like to start the conversation with something about them in particular, because that's what they know best. They know their own story the best, and it shows that you truly are valuing that person in their individual experience without asking for their entire life story. Cindy was making a move from a nonprofit into, specifically for for-profit, it was an ed tech company. Mm-hmm. She's coming from education, moving into ed tech. So coming up with some specific questions about the industry. So what you might ask the person in front of you is, say, I've been researching the ed tech industry. Here are some trends that I've noticed, but you're someone who's in it, Marie, and you know this industry really well. I would really value your perspective. Would love to hear your perspective on what you see some of the growth opportunities are within this industry. You're getting more information about what things could be different within the industry in the future.
She might actually give you insight about opportunities that you never suspected were available.
Absolutely.
And it's not like you're not asking for a position. You're just asking which specific area they think that would have openings.
Exactly.
That's an amazing question.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it relates to another question I'd like to ask, is asking the person, what are you excited about working on right now? And what you're getting from that type of question is, what are the day-to-day projects that someone in this function within this type of company is working on? So you can determine if that also sounds exciting to you. And you can ask follow-up questions to that, like, oh, that's a really cool project. Do you collaborate with another team to work on that? Or the questions that you want to know based on your criteria, you can ask some really interesting follow-up questions when you start with, what are you most excited about working on within this company right now? And it's way better than saying, hey, do you like your job? Because
do you like your job? General of a question.
Too general. What are you excited about working on gives you more objective information that allows you to decide if you would also be excited about working on that.
Can we be a little more curious about that target company that we want to work for? Is there a way that we can go there before the end of that conversation? How would you do that?
For sure.
That's the goal, I guess. But is there a way that we can feel comfortable, authentic?
So I think there's a couple different ways you can go with this. One is, if you need more culture information, go back to those questions that we talked about with Asha. Is, if you're trying to determine if this company you want to continue pushing and learn more, ask one of your important culture questions. You can also ask the question of what areas of growth are you seeing within this company? And then you can follow that up with, that's super exciting. I'm really interested in this company. Is there someone in that department where it's growing that you'd recommend that I connect with? You can ask the person, Marie, if you were making a change right now, again, from nonprofit into for-profit, or you were targeting this company again, it was on your target list, what were some things that you would be doing? Who would you be talking to? Because it's clearly showing to that person, this is a target company. I'm really interested in this company. And I would value your perspective as someone who's been there, to say, like, who would you be talking to? What would you be doing? Because that gives you some to-do list items for who else you might want to connect with. Or
you get the fast process. You know who to contact right away.
You know who to contact. And you know what Marie might say to Cindy? Actually, if I were doing this again, I think what would be really helpful is I would brush up on this particular skill set, because this is something that this company is really looking at right now. All right, now you have an action item. Instead of going back and saying, oh gosh, I need to go get an MBA, you have a specific action item from the person you talked with saying, like, okay, really? I could just spend a little bit more time like working on my Excel skills, or do a LinkedIn learning. on Canva, or like I could learn something, a skill set that would be really valuable and I could add to my resume. I could talk more about in networking. It's a time saver. Networking is a time saver because it allows you to cut through the list of applicants who are maybe being a little bit more general, like you might have been at the beginning too. You're allowing yourself to be more specific, more targeted, and to go deeper into that company with some more introductions. Cindy was able to really successfully make this move, and networking was a huge part of it. Her experience and her stories and her interview skills, those also played a part. But the company that she was applying for, they were getting so many applicants that they were really only considering applicants who were referrals or had had some networking conversations because they physically couldn't interview everyone. So they wanted to talk with people that they already had been talking to. And she's starting a new job.
That's so amazing.
It's so amazing. It's the best part of this job.
Networking, it can be hard. Of course, it can be awkward, but it's so worth it. And it keeps your confidence high. It keeps you excited. When you make that list, you have that amazing starting point, then you're able to have action items. And it sort of leads you exactly where you want to, when you want to go.
Which is just the best. So congratulations to our friend Cindy. Names and details have been changed. and as always, and thank you for all of you for listening and maybe taking some notes and getting started with your networking. Thanks for tuning in to When Mommy Grows Up. If you're interested in learning more about how career coaching can help you along your journey of growing up as a mom and professional, head over to nextchaptercareers.us, where you'll find the free Just Right job match quiz.
You can contact us at podcast@nextchaptercareers.us if you have questions, comments, or want to share your story for some coaching on the show. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review and make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platform. We'll be here every week with coaching stories and two mom friends in your corner.